us all. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey. Rejoicing the heart, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey.
Because we believe in the unction of the Spirit, the anointing, it's given to us as fresh manna every time. Praise the Lord. That's wonderful. So, I have a title for this teaching this evening, and I will explain it, as it may look a little bit surprising. But the title is My Faith a Fraud? Is My Faith a Fraud? And I want to look tonight on something that we quote many times in Galatians chapter 2. And we know in chapter 2 and verse 20, where the apostle says here, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And we need to remind ourselves in the context of why the apostle is saying what he's saying. Because Peter is trying to get Gentiles to take on some of the Jewish ways and traditions, and the apostle has to withstand him face to face with this, and he shows him that he's at fault. And in this he says, if the Jews, we ourselves, could not live to the standard, then how much more with Gentiles? And that's basically where he's coming from with regard to why he said what he said in verse 20. Because as we lead into this, he says in verse 19, for I through the law died to the law that I might live to God. And then he goes on to say, I have been crucified with Christ. And then in verse 21, he says, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. So, because we have been made righteous by the grace and mercy of God, therefore we are free from the law. Because Christ met the demands of the law and fulfilled the law and removed that anger from our Heavenly Father, which of course we all know. So it is important when we think of the fact that we are crucified with Christ, that we take our cross up daily and we follow the Lord, which we're to do as disciples. Remember also in the context of why the apostle is writing this. Because you have to be in faith, believing for this cross to do its work. The same as Jesus had to be in faith when he went to the cross, that his Father would be there and would raise him up and he would triumph over sin, over death, over Calvary, in which indeed he did. So he proved he had the faith for his cross, which he had to bear. And therefore his faith was not fraudulent. And we too are tested with our faith, that it is genuine. And this is so often the testing that God will permit and allow right here, because as he says, we're crucified with Christ. It's no longer we that live, but it's Christ who lives in us, which is absolutely paramount, else the cross will never work. You'll not even have any revelation of the cross. And he says that life which we now live in the flesh, which of course we do, we live by faith in the Son of God. So our faith is in Christ, not outside of Christ. It's not a faith that is independent of God. And remember, of course, that our faith is a gift given to us anyway. And he loved us and gave himself for us. We can sometimes miss this. And because we miss it, then we find that the cross can in fact become a burden. And instead of remaining upon it, we want to get down from it. Because we've lost sight of what actually it is for. The purpose. The purpose being is, the cross is that I may live by faith. So the cross throws me into the walk of faith, trusting God. And the cross also deals with that self-life, that independent spirit, where we want our own way, or we want to be religious, we want to embrace some of the things of the law, because man is fundamentally religious, unless the grace of God touches his or her life. So we need to remember some of those things with regard to the cross. Now, part of the test of the cross comes with also in Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 and 12, which again we know very well, but Matthew 5, 11 and 12, which says, "Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kind of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." They are going to persecute us. They're going to lie. They're going to say all manner of things. We are a peculiar people. They don't understand us. And therefore, they use all of these things in which to speak out against us. And we're going to find that this is going to get worse and worse in these last days, as the days become blacker and blacker, as man becomes more rebellious and confused, which of course is what is happening. Now, in light of what we have read there, are we experiencing that breaking of that independent spirit that we have? Because if not, you are a fraud. If you are resisting the working of God, bringing those areas still of unbelief, those areas where we're still independent of God, if we are resisting this, then we are, what this title says, a fraud. Because the cross is presented to us in order that we don't become fraudulent. The cross is presented to us for the very purpose so that we become totally, completely dependent upon him. You have to decide whether you will give up or not. Will I surrender to Christ or not? And that is why sometimes he allows us to go through these various trials and testings, because he's getting us to surrender. We know that Jesus had to surrender to the demands of the cross. And its demand was that he was to die in the flesh. So we know that he willingly surrendered and gave himself over to man, the religious people, the Romans, man whom he created, breathed life into man. He's handing himself over to the ones he created, that they will put him to death in the flesh. If that is not the epitome of surrender, then I don't know what is. Not only surrender, but humility. Not a speck of pride, but so one with his Father, knowing by faith that nothing can separate him from the Godhead, because he's part of the Godhead, even though he's God in flesh. Why do we think it different for us in that sense? Of course, we're not going to the cross to redeem the world. That has already been done. But the working by the Spirit is still the same, for the very purpose that we are completely surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we don't commit ourselves to surrender ourselves to him on the basis of conditions, which sometimes we do. We have to be broken from our own understanding of ourselves. No bargaining. You see, we like blessings, and who doesn't? And we so often quote, don't we, "Seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." But are we still faithful? Are we still committed? Do we still allow the cross to do its work, even if there are not blessings? That's the ultimate testing, and sometimes God will test us in that way, to find out what our motives are. Whether I'm placing conditions as a disciple with my walk with the Lord. You see, the Lord understands us far more than we understand ourselves. So, are you at a point where you don't know anymore? Are you at a point where I haven't a clue where I'm going, what tomorrow holds? I don't know what is happening or happening in my life. I don't know where I'm supposed to go or who I'm supposed to meet or whatever it is. Well, if you're beginning to experience those things, That is a sign you're coming to the end of your own understanding. You can't think of any more or any more to say. Sometimes there's nothing more we can say to the Lord that he's not heard 100 times out of our mouth. There's nothing more I can say, Lord, that you have not heard. You know all things. I'm in your hands. These are all signs that you are coming to the end of your understanding with regard to yourself. Because God is not going to let you understand yourself. And the reason being is because of the cross. That is why. We have to be brought to the end of our independence of ourself. In other words, hands off. And that's ultimately what it is. And you've got to remember that no one's going to do this for you. We present this, like we're doing this evening, with the teaching, but ultimately you're the one that has to do it. You're the one that has to take up that cross daily and follow the Lord. The pastor, a teacher or minister cannot do it for you. And there are times when we still look to ministry to do these things for us. All our job is always to point you to the Lord Jesus and to his word. That is ultimately how it works. You see, God is breaking this outer layer, which is like a hard shell. And we know when we have nuts, we have to break those shells in order to get the nut that is inside. And so often God has to do that with us. We have these shells around us and we think we know them and we feel secure by them. We can hide behind them when things get difficult and so on. But you see, he's dealing with these outer layers. You see, he's liberating us so that we can be one with him. That is the working of the cross, the working of your trials. That is his goal for you, that you will be one with him. And that you will not only be one with him, but you will experience that oneness. The same as Jesus was one with his Father, so you are one with your Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. It is no different, brothers and sisters. We've still got this idea, oh, it was for Jesus one thing, for us, for me, it's a different thing. No, the very same Spirit that raised him from the dead is the very same Spirit working in you and I. He has gone before and prepared the way so it can be done. And God's made no mistake in this, no mistake over you. He called you from the foundation of the world so that he may be one with you in fellowship. That's ultimately your calling, my calling. Isn't that wonderful? And yet we run away from it. We're afraid of it. You see, we're so fearful not being able to follow our own ideas. But God doesn't want our ideas. And we need to really get this one. He doesn't want our ideas. He wants you receiving revelation from above. That's what he wants you to have. He wants you to hear his voice, not your ideas or preconceived ideas. And let's face it, our ideas that we have had, most of them have never come to anything, have they? In fact, God has obliterated, he's destroyed it. But eventually, we get the idea. And the whole idea of this and the cross's work is that I will be one with him. And when we get to this place, which he's ultimately working with us, it makes us then loyal to him. And that's why few understand or experience this. Because he doesn't want your faith fraudulent. He wants it genuine. And so when we begin to experience him, experience that revelation, him speaking to us, this is what influences us. This is what makes us loyal and obedient to him. That is what he wants, because he knows that's where he can get obedience from us. Not with a stick reprimanding us. No, he can get that obedience from us when we experience that oneness that we have with him. Now, the question is, will I give up, will I surrender to this or not? In other words, there are no strings attached. There's no bargaining. There's none of these ideas deep down in our hearts. Well, if I surrender, if I'm one with him, then he's going to really bless me and I will be able to do this and I will be able to do that. I'll be free to go here, free to go there and everything. No, 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 no. No, no. Being one with him will be such a joy, such a blessing, such an experience that everything of the world would be so mediocre in comparison. And you know, brothers and sisters, that is what our hearts are crying out for. But we don't always know this. We're not always honest about this. But that is really what our hearts are crying for. That is what the bride's heart cries out for, that I may be one with him. This was the heart of the apostle. This is what he bore out in his ministry. And this is why it affected the churches and those following him. And that is what is being restored back to the church. The experience, the teaching, the revelation that we are saved to be one with him. Now, there is a lot that is said about relationship. Because in many ways that's what we're talking about. But really what it means is that I be one to him. It means it is that surrendering up of the independent life. My will, my wants, what I want to do. And of course that's where they stop. They don't go on further with that one. So that is the question that we often are confronted with. Is it a complete surrender? No strings attached. I'm not bargaining in any way in this or whatever it is, or hope to get something back in return for my efforts. Oh, there's a lot of us are guilty of that one. In attitude. But you know, when we reach that point, and we are, by his grace and mercy, do you know what happens? The supernatural takes over. That's what happens. When you are one with God, automatically the supernatural just takes over. And you will know, because things will start to happen. Those testimonies will start coming. Sharing what God has done. This is where I believe the greater works are to come from the overcomers as they are one with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that is what automatically takes over. Because it is Christ, it is God in you reaching out to the needs of this dying world. And you and I in no way are hindering or stopping this. And when we are one with this, and the Holy Spirit working through us, he is going to lead and guide us to people you would never go to in the natural. You would avoid. And yet he will. The Holy Spirit will lead us to some of the most depraved in the world, that the world completely, totally rejects. Well, we know this because we're told in the last days it's going out into the highways and the byways. And what is out in the highways and the byways? Well, it's not the royal family, I can tell you. No, we have to be one with him. And then the Spirit of God, the supernatural, will start to take over. You see, the freedom comes when I've signed away my rights and I become that bondservant of Jesus Christ. That's where it comes. It's when I have signed it away. I've handed it over once and for all. All my rights, all that independence, what I want to do, I've surrendered it all to the Lord. I have become the bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he takes over. He takes over and he manifests himself. He manifests his glory. The reason that we're not seeing yet what we long to see in the church and in FGA is because we're still not yet one with him. And I'm not saying that if you're not one with him, you won't be saved. That is not what I'm saying. God knows all those that are saved and who will make it into the kingdom of God. But what I am talking about is you being an overcomer of first fruits. And not all are seeing that one. Not all want it. That is the difference. You see, God wants to help himself in whatever way he sees fit in the house of God. In the house of God and in FGA, he wants to help himself and do whatever he wants to do in any of us without any strings attached, without any hindrance, without any arguments, hesitation, fear, stubbornness. Just yield it over in unity and oneness, whatever he wishes to do. That is the nature of a bondservant. And that is what the apostle is meaning here. That I'm crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. The old me that was is finished, is gone. That is why an overcomer has to go to their own funeral. And if you've not been there yet, you will go there. Because that is what he means here. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And so because he lives in me, although I live in the flesh, I'm living by faith in the Son of God. Because he loves me and he gave himself for me, for that very purpose. So it is the work of the Holy Spirit. What God wants from you and from me is to believe that he can and he will do that. I don't know how. I don't know when. As I said earlier on, I don't know. I don't know anything unless he reveals it to me. And that is exactly how Jesus walked. I don't know unless the Father reveals. I haven't a clue. And that's why at times he didn't always answer them or give them the questions that they wanted. And he was asked many things at times. And we see in our Lord's walk, there are times when he didn't answer. And the reason he didn't answer, because he didn't know. It wasn't given yet to him. And that's how dependent we're becoming to the Lord. So that we are totally, completely abandoned to him. So that he can work in and through us. And as I've said, as I bring this to a close now, this is where the supernatural will start to be experienced. Because I have been saying over the last months that our walk is a supernatural walk. It's not a walk like the world or the religious system. It is a miraculous walk. There are things going on in our life that should never happen in the natural and don't happen in the natural. But we are not in the natural, but in the supernatural. That is why we pray the kingdom of God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. For that very reason. I don't have a normal walk like anyone else. So why should that take us by surprise? Or why should we be offended by that? God is working this oneness with you and I for very purpose to reach out by his love and mercy and grace to a dying world before it's judged. If that is not worth yielding over to and becoming one with, then I don't know what is. We need the compassion and love and mercy of God in our hearts. Because our unity and oneness is so that it will be expressed. Because this world is getting harder and harder and more violent, more confused. It is reprobate. Minds are becoming seared. This nation, sadly, is pagan. But I do believe that the Lord is going to have mercy once more over this land before judgment comes. I'm strongly hearing that from God. He is going to have mercy. He's going to manifest his glory once more to this nation. And you and I are the recipients of that, as we yield to the Holy Spirit, as we experience this oneness with him. I think that is worth it. It is worth our ministry, both individually and corporately, where God uses us, where souls can be saved, who do not go into a Christless eternity. I think that is worth it. Because it's not about you, it's not about me, it is about Christ working in and through each one of us. And he's doing this through the working of the cross, which we daily take up. And that's all he's asked us to do, and he will do the rest. You don't have to ask how to be crucified, or try to crucify yourself, or whatever it is. I can well assure you the Holy Spirit will work that. And you will know pretty quickly as well. And he's going to permit us to go through trials. He is at times going to make us look foolish, ridiculous, as we hang on that cross, just like Jesus did. They're going to jeer, they're going to mock. But he was one with his Father. As I close, this being one with him is also a hedge of protection. In its nature, not only are we one with him, but it's also very protective. This oneness protects you in mind, body, and spirit. You are engulfed with the love and the presence of Almighty God, that everything else, even yourself, virtually doesn't exist other than the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is how powerful this is as we become one with him. It is the anchoring in our life that we are so desperately wanting and looking for. And if we want it, we stay with it, we keep coming, and we keep listening to the word, he is going to do it. Because he's faithful. Because that work which he hath begun, he will complete and finish in you and me. Praise God. Father, we thank you, Lord, that when we come before you and we hear your word, it is never a waste of time. There is always something new, something to experience, something that we still thought we knew, but we don't know. Lord, we are so aware, Father, that you love us so much. You have the very best for us. How could we ever turn away? How could we ever doubt? And whatever work you are doing in and through us, you've shown that your grace is sufficient. And you always go before, you prepare the way. Father, help us to be faithful, to endure to the end, to allow this work to be done in and through us. Lord, deliver us from any of us who have a fraudulent faith that's not really real. God forbid. Because we walk by faith and not by sight. And we know that our faith is at times tested and tried. Because that is what proves it's genuine. And so, Father, we thank you today. We thank you for speaking to us so faithfully and lovingly. And I pray, Lord, that you'll bless, preserve, and always keep us in the faith. Always keep our eyes looking to you, looking away from the world, its allurements, its desires, its lusts, its deceit. May our eyes and heart and whole being be fixed, seeking the kingdom of God. Father, we ask this in and through the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, bless you all. It's good to share the word with you, and I know I was challenged but also blessed as I was preparing this, and I always know when God speaks to us, he'll never speak to us if it can't be achieved. So let that be the encouragement. We are the only ones who have that victory. It's already won in Jesus Christ. Let's just hold on to that.
Up my eyes to the hills, from whence does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Oh, neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord, He is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. Oh, nor the moon by
forever. I will love.